going to pick up on something or move to something a little bit different today. Today, if you look on the title of the bulletin, it says the Sword of the Spirit. That's a name for the Word of God or the Bible. And we're talking about different fundamentals. And I have the picture of the basketball because basketball fundamentals is what kind of made me think of this. I think that's what got me into this, just focusing on some of the very, very basics of our faith in Christianity. And so we're going to look at some passages. I have one behind me. But I want to tell you that the Word of God and your beliefs about the Word of God will shape the course of your life. So what you think about the Bible and what you believe about the Bible is going to really determine what kind of person you are and what kind of direction your life takes. And when we were singing those songs and we had the background of the ocean and we were singing, you know, as deep cries out to deep, I was looking at the ocean. I couldn't help but thinking of a big ship and how when they start their journey to wherever they're going, they have to point the ship in a certain direction. They have to orient it and they have a long journey to where they're going, but they need to stay on course. And very much, the Bible very much keeps us on course, and our belief about the Bible and where it comes from and exactly what it is and how much authority it has over our lives really determines what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and what kind of decisions that we make. This week I was playing basketball with a young guy and I was talking to him and we got to talking a little bit about something. I mean, I think it went along the lines of I told him why I didn't think smoking marijuana was a good idea. And that as a Christian, I don't want to be drunk or high. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And we got to talking about that, and then we got on the subject of the Bible. And he said, well, it's just a man-made teaching like every other. It has some good things in it, and it has some not so good things in it. You know, it's beneficial, but not, you know, it's not of God. It's a man-made thing. And I obviously that's totally different than what I believe and what we'll teach here. And the emphasis, the real point of today is that the Bible is God's Word. And if you believe that it's God's Word and you accept that it's God's Word in your life, that's going to set you on a completely different course than if you don't believe it's God's Word. Or if you just believe a little bit of it's God's Word. Or if you think you can pick and choose out of the Bible what you want to believe. You know, you either accept this as God's Word and it sets your life in one direction, or you're somewhere else, you're going off in a little bit different direction or a radically different direction. So, just not by name, but just think of that young man and pray for him. Maybe I'll get the opportunity to talk to him a little bit more. But that's the basic for today. So it's like a basic takeaway that you can have, you know, for your toolbox here, you know, that the Bible is God's Word. I can trust it. I know that it has authority over my life because it comes from God. And I'm going to share various passages that talk about that. I'm not going to prove something to you today. I'm not going to sit out and say, well, I'm going to prove to you that the Bible is God's Word. God has not really given us the proof for that other than a life that's devoted to Him, that follows the Bible, that reads it, that studies it, that we know inside that this is God's Word. I don't doubt it at all. So let's pray once more and then we'll get into looking at those passages. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for this time we could spend talking about it. And I pray that as we leave here, each one of us is stronger in our conviction that your Word is truth. It's from you. That these are not just mere teachings of men, but they come from you. And thank you for that. And thank you for your presence in this place. We love you and we praise you. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen. So the first passage that we're going to look at is a very important passage, and it's a passage that is one of the two key passages that give us an idea of where the Bible comes from and where Scripture comes from, and teaches us about this doctrine called the inspiration of Scripture. So if you will go ahead and turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. And remember, 1 and 2 Timothy are letters written from Paul to Timothy, who's a younger pastor, like 30-ish, and he's got a lot of work to do, and Paul's giving him lots of advice about what to do. And here, starting in verse 14, he writes to him about a key thing that he needs to have to keep focus, a key understanding. He says, "But as for you, And I should pause and say that before this, he talks about all the bad things that are going to happen in and around the church and around the world, and just the attitudes and things that people are going to have. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." He says, no matter what's going on all around you, you got to persist, you got to continue, you got to be firm in what you believe, and you got to know who you've learned it from. And when I think of that, I think that he may be alluding to himself and other Christians that have been around him, his mother, his grandmother. I think a lot about his mother and his grandmother here because they were believers. And when you read what's said next, and then I think again of the Holy Spirit, who, as you spend time with God and His Word, and if you're a true believer and you've really trusted Him as your Lord and your Savior, you have His Holy Spirit living in your life, and He's teaching you. He is your teacher. We talked about that last week. And so who you've learned it. And He says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Now, how do you think He got acquainted with the sacred writings? And He's talking about the Scripture. In this case, it would be the Old Testament. How did He get acquainted with those sacred writings? Well, it was His mother and His grandmother that taught Him about the Word of God, and then probably sent Him and put Him in other places where He could learn. But He'd been acquainted and familiar. And how many of us have had the Bible in our life since we were kids? Not all of us. Some of us, you know, some of us can say I didn't have the Bible at all. But a lot of us had a mother or a grandmother or a grandfather or father or somebody that became a believer at some point and was trying to give us the Bible and teach us about it. And they sent us to Sunday school and they wanted us to learn the stories that are in the Bible and have that. And if you have had somebody in your life like that, say amen. And be thankful. Because that person was sent from God to help make you acquainted with the sacred writings and things that are there that you need to know the truth. You're not going to get the truth from watching television. Really, things have really deteriorated around us. And it's very confusing too for kids that are growing up. And every single one of us needs the Word of God to guide and direct us. So those are the sacred writings that he is talking about. He says, you have been acquainted with these sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He said, these writings, the Scripture, they're able to make you wise, not in an earthly way, but in a way that leads to salvation. And we talk a lot around here about being saved, because the Bible talks about salvation and being saved. And we got to know that we're being saved from an eternity separated from God, where we're punished for our sins. We're cut off, we're cast away from God, that we're saved from that. That's the message of the Bible, and that's why it's good news. It's good news. We don't have to have that in our life. We can go the direction of Christ, and we can believe in Him, and we can trust Him, and we can welcome Him into our lives. And if I realize that sometimes talking about the penalty of sin and what happens when we don't have Christ in our lives, if there's somebody here that's not a believer and they could be offended by that, and I understand that, and I don't set out to try to offend anyone, but like, it's my job to tell you the whole story of what the Bible says. And the Bible says that if you don't come to the Father through Jesus Christ, then you're forever cast off and separated from Him, and you'll be sent to a place of eternal regret, which is described as burning and gnashing of the teeth and these kind of things. And so there are these two extremes. One is to turn from God and to have that as your destiny. And the other one is to spend an eternity with Him and His love and to be blessed by Him in ways that we could not even imagine. That's the message of the Scripture. That's what it says. So we want to talk about the whole thing. And sometimes it is hard to hear, or it sounds difficult if you don't believe, but that is what it says. So these writings, he says, can make you wise for salvation, and it's through faith in Christ Jesus. So that's how we are saved from that, by having faith in Jesus and who He was and what He did and how He died on the cross and how He didn't stay dead and how he rose again. Now here's kind of the key verse here, 16. It's a big statement. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So it's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that are the kind of the key verses here in this passage. But let's go back and look at it a little bit. So if anything is Scripture, Scripture is the writings, the sacred writings. They're from God. Okay, it's what we've collected into the Bible. We didn't make it the Bible. We recognize that these particular writings that the church throughout history understood to be Scripture. He says, if something Scripture, all of Scripture, is breathed out by God. And your translation may say inspired. Sometimes that's another word, but actually that's weaker. Inspired, sometimes you might say, man, that was really an inspired football game that that middle linebacker played. He really just went out there. He was so inspired to do it. Or maybe some of you are like fans of other sports and you see like an effort. Like, oh, that was a really inspired effort. Well, we don't really talk like that so much, do we? But, you know, our grandparents might have. Or maybe some of you do. I don't know. Inspired is almost too weak. The actual literal sense is that it's God, it says God breathed. And so more the thing is, it's spoken out by God. Breathed out by Him. So anything that's Scripture, all of Scripture, originates with God. Now, it's written by men, and we're going to see a little bit more about how that happens. And it comes through men, so we don't deny there are human authors. And we don't deny that they had a particular culture and place in history and education level and all these different things. But the message comes through those men, but it comes from God. It's breathed out by Him. So anything that's Scripture is from God. It originates with God. How much of the Bible do we believe is Scripture? Well, all of it. This is what we say Scripture is. What has been recognized as Scripture. What has stood the test of time. Okay, but it's not that because we say it is. It's either Scripture or it's not. And it's Scripture if it comes from God. And all of it is from God. Now, so take this Bible. Here's what I'm going to teach you to think about. How much of this Bible is Scripture? All of it. How much of it is breathed out by God? All of it. Now you look at what it says here. It's talking about the matter, the subject matter is all of Scripture. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for a number of different things. So of this Bible, and sometimes another word that's used is useful, of this Bible I have, how much of it is really useful teaching? All of it. That's what this verse teaches us, all of it. Now, I'm going to admit to you, sometimes it's not as clear how one particular verse is going to be useful to my life, you know, as I read about, you know, different things in the Old Testament and I don't understand them. Sometimes some things are immediately more obvious, but in the big picture, all of it is there. Every single bit of it has been given for a purpose and a reason. God knew what He was doing. He knew exactly what He needed to give us. So all of it is breathed out by God and it's profitable. And here's some things that it's profitable for teaching. Teaching you about spiritual things that really matter and guiding and directing your life. Now, it's not good for teaching every single subject matter. It's on the subject matter that it teaches you. Some people like to look into the Bible and try to find codes and different things. And I don't think so. I think it's talking plainly about what we need to know and understand spiritually, and how we respond to God and how we can have a right relationship with Him. It's not a matter of like trying to find some special code that's going to let us make some great business decision or something like that. Amen? You agree with me on that? All right, so it's profitable for teaching, for reproof. That's closely related to correction here, but like a little bit stronger, I think. It's more like on the negative sense. Like you're doing something wrong here, you receive reproof. Correction is more like a positive kind of thing, get things going in the right direction. But either way, you know, it's basically like the same idea. We get off course, we need to be brought back, and it's profitable. Like if somebody comes alongside you and says, you know, hey, you ought to think about this. Think about what it said in the Bible here. You know, they try to steer you in the right direction with that. They're trying to do this for you. It's a good thing, so long as they're giving you the truth of the Bible and it's accurate understanding and they're doing it in love. The Bible is very useful for that. It's useful for training in righteousness. So I love the thought of training, you know, training for an event or training for something in life, training in college and different things. But we're training for something that matters more than all those things, to be in a right relationship with God. And that's what the Bible is useful for training in that way. He says that the man of God, and this means men or women, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So if you have an understanding of the Word of God and you're taught by the Word of God, you're competent. If you don't, you're incompetent. And that would mean to serve Him, and that would mean to, maybe it means to be a father, maybe it means to be a mother, maybe it means to be a wife, maybe it means to be a husband. A teacher, you know, different things. Whatever it is, the work that God, all of it is important spiritually. But if we don't have the Word of God in our lives, we're incompetent. And it's the Bible that makes us competent. The Bible and the Holy Spirit. And I'll kind of get to that and why it's called the sword of the Spirit. Okay, that's what makes us competent. And so this gives us, this verse is a very powerful verse, a couple of verses that give us a picture of, you know, what we should believe about the Bible. You should believe that it comes from God, that it's His Word, that He breathed it out, and that every single word in this book is there for a reason. It's important and it's useful. And I really believe that we should spend the rest of our lives being students of the Bible and trying to understand every day more and more about what God has to say to us through His Word. And He wrote us this, and it's not meant to sit on the shelf. It's not meant to collect dust. It's meant to guide and direct our lives. If we're like that ship, to keep us on course to where we're going. And it's such an awesome thing. And so that's a verse, probably one of my favorite verses there. Now, there's another account here. And if you'll turn with Second Peter chapter 1. And this is going to have the verse in it that is kind of the other key verse that teaches us about where the Bible comes from. And we're going to start in verse 16. You follow along with me. Got to make sure you get to 2 Peter, not like I just did and turned to 1 Peter by accident. All right, so we'll read. And again, now this is Peter talking. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Now, you know Peter, right? I think in youth group, somebody just did a lesson on Peter, and they were talking about how they related to him and how he was always way out there and often stuck his foot in his mouth. I mean, what do they say about Peter? Like, when does he open his mouth? It's to change feet, right? You know, he does that. It's kind of what he's known for, you know. But so many of us are the same way. But you know that he walked with Christ and he spent those years with him, those 3 years with him. And then after he denied Christ, that he received the Holy Spirit and his life was changed and he became very powerful through the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, he's giving this account to people. He said, you know, it wasn't cleverly devised myths that we followed. He says, we were eyewitnesses. We actually saw it. We were actually there. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And then he's going to talk about a particular example of this. He says, "For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" He's talking about when God said that from heaven up on the mountain, when He was up there, when the three were up there, and God said that, and He proclaimed it. It would have been an awesome experience. I mean, a lot of people want to have an awesome experience. And so often we just are seeking experience, experience, experience. And I've heard it lots of times, and I know that we appreciate experience, but we can't base everything on experience. Sometimes we just got to base it on the truth. And most of the time it's just the truth of what the Bible says. But he says, I'll tell you, I had this experience. I wasn't just following some myths, but I was an eyewitness to something. We were up on the mountain with Jesus, and we heard the voice of God from heaven say, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." How many of you would like to have an experience like that? It was a great experience. And he says they were eyewitnesses to it. He says, "We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." Now I want to tell you about my favorite part of this. He says this, he goes on, he doesn't stop there. He says, guess what? He says, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention to, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And I get excited because what I'm understanding when I read this, he says, we have something more sure than an audible voice from heaven and an experience like that. We have something more sure. It's called the prophetic word. It's called the word of God. And I'm going to show you later on, it's talking about scripture here specifically as it's mentioned here. We have the word of God, and this is more sure than the experience of a voice from heaven. And so this is awesome, amazing, powerful. It's there. Just what God wants to say into your life, just what He wants you to know, everything is right there. It's at the tip of your fingers. Maybe you have to put your glasses on and you have to read. Maybe you have to roll up your sleeves and work at it a little bit. Maybe you have to spend some time. You have to set some time. Maybe you have to turn the television off and get in the Word. But it's there. And the voice from heaven is calling out. But it's not calling out in the way that we hear with our ears, but it's on print. It's on the paper right here. We can read it. It's there. And it's powerful, and it's better than, he says, it's more sure than any experience that you can have. Experience is great, but experiences are like up and down, and they come and they go. But this is steady, and it's always there, and it's always the truth, and it's unchanging. And it's not going to be changed by society. It's not going to be changed by culture. It's not going to be changed by different things. And we can't take a vote on it. Amen? It's more sure, and you can trust it more. Now, the problem with experience is you can't always trust experience. And I'll just tell you how I live out my faith. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit guides and directs us, speaks things into our lives. But I usually say, I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me this. I believe He's leading me this way. And especially if I'm going to talk to you about something for you, I'm very slow to say, God told me this. Unless it's in the Bible. And then I say, I know, it's certain, it's something that I can be more sure of. I could be more sure of this, what's in the Bible, than I could if God right now spoke in an audible way and we all heard it loud right here. I can be more, not equally sure, but I could be more sure of what's in the Bible. And so this is an awesome book, and it's God's message to us. All right, so going back to that, he says, knowing this. Okay, let me read that passage one more time. Let me start at 19, actually. And he says, we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. So nothing that is Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture, nothing in the Bible comes from just a human being and their own interpretation. He says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So where does prophecy come from? It comes from God. And how does it happen? Men speak it or write it as they're carried along by the Holy Spirit. And again, that's why if somebody says this is prophecy, it has to really be from God and it has to really be right. And it has to be more sure. If you're saying, okay, God says this, it has to be more sure than the voice of heaven calling out. It's more sure, it's more certain than that. And so for something to be prophecy, there's a really high bar for it. Amen? You know what the bar was in the Old Testament times. If you said that you had prophecy and you gave prophecy and it didn't happen, guess what happened to you? You got killed. If you said, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord didn't say that, and you were determined to be a false prophet, you were stoned to death. Now, we live under grace, and we don't have that now. We have people saying things, you know, God said this or God said that. And we're kind of more in the position to say, okay, well, maybe He did, maybe He didn't. Let's see how God works and what He does, and we can wait and we can see. But I'll tell you, though, what we need to really be basing our Christianity on, our walk with Christ, is the Bible. The Word of God. We can be sure about that. Now, we got some other things. We got to know what it actually means. We got to actually study it. And there's a lot of different ideas about the Bible. But we've got to work in those things. And we got to accept that we need to experience different ideas about what people think and come together and study it together. But that's what we can trust more than anything else. Because remember, if it's experience, if you base your life on experience and how you feel and those kind of things, it's like sand. It's like building a house on sand. It's like here today and gone tomorrow. It's up, down. How many of you sometimes don't feel so good? How about Monday mornings? Okay, let's get real and personal here. Can I? I want to tell you the times I feel the worst. And I feel bad about this because this is very immature. But I have just felt so bad those times when the Seahawks lost this year. And I hate watching those football games when they lose and you just feel so terrible. I mean, you physically, how many of you, when you're doing something like that, you're going for your favorite team or something like that, when it gets done, you just physically just feel awful. How many of you like remember the Super Bowl last year? I was just thinking about, some people say I'm not allowed to talk about it, but see, I'm the pastor here and I can talk about it if I want to talk about it. Those were dark times, right? And there's at least one guy that likes the Patriots in here, and we're still friends. But, you know, you feel different. And there are other things a lot more important in life that make you feel different ways. And I tell you what, I know when I'm feeling yucky like that and I'm just all irritable. I know that really I need to break away and I need to read the Bible and I need to start thinking about things a little bit differently, about what's important and what really matters. Okay, so that is kind of the second passage. And if you think again about what that passage says, it tells us where the Word of God comes from and how it originates with God. And how we know that the men who wrote it were prophets and they were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote it. So that's how we believe that the Bible came to existence. Now, remember when we were in Ephesians, it said, wear the armor of God. In this one little verse, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. That's not what we're talking about here. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As he describes the armor that we're to wear in our fight against our adversary, who wants to come and wants to tear down what God is doing, he says, you need to wear this armor. And he talks about all the different parts of the armor. But he says, like, kind of towards the end, he says, you need your sword. You need to take up your sword. And what is your sword? It's called the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. So the Word of God, another name for it, is the sword of the Spirit. So if you think about it, like the sword of the Spirit, It has to involve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave us the Word. The Holy Spirit uses the Word in our lives to do work. And the Word of God can reach places in our hearts and our lives and the Holy Spirit that we could never reach. So it's the sword. So, you know, I might say, hey, man, did you bring your sword today? And you could say, yeah, I got it right here. I never leave home without it. It's always right at my side. Okay? Sword. Your sword. And if you're not in the Bible and you're trying to live as a Christian without being in the Word of God and without the Word of God guiding and directing your life, you're like a soldier going out to fight without your sword. How's that going to go for you? It's not going to go very well. All right, so it's called the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave us the Bible, didn't he? As we talked about that, right? Just now, he gave us the Bible. So we know that the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict himself and tell us something that's not compatible with what's in the Bible. So I couldn't come to you and say, well, God's Holy Spirit told me this and somehow it contradicts what's in the Bible. That's a basic test right there. But the truth is, we need both the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have the Bible without the Holy Spirit, but without the Holy Spirit, we cannot really truly understand the Bible. We cannot truly understand and apply it to our lives as spiritual things. The Holy Spirit teaches us the truths that are in the Bible. Like, without the Holy Spirit, you just read it. It's just a bunch of words. It's like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting, or that sounds kind of far out. But it's the Holy Spirit that really makes it work for us, really teaches us that. And so here's a passage, 1 Corinthians 2:11. It says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." And so if you're spiritual and you're in the Holy Spirit and you're following God, the Holy Spirit teaches you spiritual truths. And so that's why I said, and it's called the sword of the Spirit. And we think about it. You need the Holy Spirit and you need the Bible. And what happens is people try to approach God kind of heavy in one way or the other often. So like it might be an all spirit thing. And so it's all about the Spirit. Everything is the Spirit, 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 Spirit. And that person probably might not be in the Bible so much, and they really don't understand basic doctrines and truths of what the Bible actually teaches, but it has everything to do with, you know, well, what's God saying to you? And sometimes I think that's them saying it to themselves. Okay, that's one danger. Now, the other danger is we get so academic, we treat the Bible like a textbook, and there's really no Holy Spirit there at all, and we learn, okay, I can memorize all the explanations of the basic doctrines and everything like that, but it's not really impacting and changing my life. There's a lack of the Spirit there. That's the other extreme. So we want to be in the, we want to be like in the right place where we rely on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Every single bit of what God has given us is needed. All right, so I want to point that out. You know, we think about it. They work in tandem. We need both the Spirit and the Word of God. All right, now, how effective is the Word of God at reaching and penetrating our lives? And again, it's the sword of the Spirit. So here's another one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Word of God, described as a double-edged sword, sharper than a double-edged sword, it's able to get in to separate and divide things that are very difficult to separate and divide. How many of you truly know the difference between soul and spirit? I've been trying to decide if there is a difference, and I've been trying to put it in words and think about it, and I go back and forth and I read what different things. My conclusion, my top conclusion, is that it's very difficult to divide these, but what can divide them is the Word of God. Bones and marrow is another example. You know, they're together. They're working together. This is what the Word of God does. It gets in and does work. It says that it is living and active. That doesn't mean it's changing and it's like, okay, it's going to do different things. But it's relevant for our lives. And as we read it, it's alive in us. And my prayer this week, as I was thinking about this and I was doing my own like time in the Bible, was that God, may your words be alive in me. May they really, truly be alive in me. And it says that they get down to the level of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, nobody besides God can really know what our motives are, what our hidden thoughts are, what our intentions are. And God knows it and He can see it, but He says the Word of God works at that level. It gets it, and we want it to. Believe me, we want it to. You want it. If your motives aren't right about something, and you sit down and you do your Bible study, and you're convicted by that, and you come away differently, then praise God, amen. That's a great thing, and it's kind of a regular experience that we should have, because none of us are anywhere close to perfect here, and we need that in our lives. All right, so just wrapping up here. With this, and then I've got just a couple points to close out at the end. But, you know, we talk about being in the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. And oftentimes, you know, we think about that as, and we feel guilty about that. We're not, or whatever. You know, you got to learn not to beat yourself up. You got to learn not to do things out of guilt. But this is a passage that I think about that helps me remember, you know, and it explains. And it is an experience that I have regularly with God, how I can go from really thinking about things in a really human way to all of a sudden having stronger faith and thinking about things in a totally different way and giving things to God, just trusting Him with it. I just, like, when I spend my time with God, I just, man, He is really making it obvious more and more the closer I get to Him. And here's a verse that kind of explains it, Romans 12:2, and we looked at this, I think, last week or the week before. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And our minds are renewed a lot of different ways, but probably one of the main ways that our minds renewed is through the Holy Spirit and God's Word. That as we read the Bible and we really are in His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit is really filling us, that our minds are renewed. We think about things differently. We think on the spiritual level, on the eternal level. And when that happens, our lives are transformed. And the thing is, every single one of us here should want to have a transformed and changed life. And nobody should come to this place and say, you know what, I just want to be the same person that I've always been. I just want everyone to take me just how I am. I'm never ever going to change. We should all want to change. We should all want to grow. We should all want to be closer to the Lord. We should all want to walk our life differently than we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We don't want to worry about the stuff that we worried about. And that's the journey in Christ. And that's going to require a renewed mind. And it's not like you can't just read the Bible and say, well, I read the Bible this week. Or I read the Bible. I read through the whole thing. I already read that book. Give me another one. It's not like that, because the Bible is alive and it's active. And you can never master what's in the Bible. And so you have to just take little chunks of it each day. And so we got to remember to spend that regular time with the Lord. Not out of guilt, but out of the pleasure of being with Him. All right, so just a few, I guess I call these applications. I don't know if there's so much applications, but just kind of the main points that we talked about, just remembered. This was the chunk. This was the piece, you know, for you. Like, where did the Bible come from? And why do we call it God's Word? It is. It is from God. Breathed out by God. It's God's Word. You can trust it. You have it. It can guide and direct your life. It's completely relevant for guiding our lives today. Now, this book is not outdated. Remember, it's alive and it's active. If it's from God, God is able to come up with something that is just as applicable in 2016 as it was in 10 AD. All right? It's just as, and I should say 40 AD, 50 AD, 60 AD, 70 AD, the New Testament, those things. But it's completely relevant for guiding our lives today. But whether or not it's going to guide your life goes back to that idea, like, what do you believe about it? What do you think about it? Is it just a book written by men, or is this really from God? We need the Bible and the Holy Spirit. I mentioned that. I think I made that clear. So remember that it's the Bible is from God. God's Holy Spirit is God. They work in tandem. They're not opposite forces. They're together. God gave us what we needed. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to understand spiritual truths. We need those. Need the Holy Spirit to understand those spiritual truths. And then just finally was the one that we just talked about. Our lives are transformed. And we all want transformed lives, I hope. Our lives are transformed when our minds are renewed. And I could put renewed regularly by the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this morning. I want to thank You for these very powerful verses that speak into our lives and help us to understand about Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You would guide and direct us to believe the right things about Your Word, to have the right attitudes, to have a passion for it, to seek You through Your Word, to also be led by Your Holy Spirit, that through Your Spirit You would teach us the truths that are in Your Word. Thank You so much. We love You. We praise You. We want to give You all the glory today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.